In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
St. John Paul II, the Pope, a saint, and also absolutely brilliant, taught us so much about what it is to be in love, what it is to be a family, what it is to be a couple. And actually teaches that love isn't just some blanket term we throw out there with different definitions. He actually teaches there's an order of how love develops, how it builds. The best example is probably when a man and woman meet each other for the first time, and how it builds the point of their marriage. He goes into describing charity, describing love between people as, first, simply an attraction. They notice there's something good in the other. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's their holiness, their virtue, their beauty. Just something about them is just, they are good. And that quickly develops to, they're good for me. From attraction, it moves on to desire, that I want that in my life, that person's smile, that person's just goodness, the holiness I see in them. I want that to be part of my life. And from that attraction to desire, it builds into goodwill. Not only do I see the good in them, not only do I want the good in them in my life, I want their good. It's such a beautiful thing. Something goes from I'm desiring them to I want to give myself to this person. And it's such a blessing the Lord has made that part of the human heart, desiring the goodwill of the other person, that love is developing quickly, but it doesn't stop there. It continues on, the point past attraction, past desire, past goodwill, to the union of friendship. It's a union that's not just, you are good, I want your goodness, I want to give goodness to you, but actually I want it to be more than just you and me, I want it to be a we. And ours. And that becomes a friendship, becomes a union. And it doesn't stop there even. St. John Paul II says, the peaks of love is what he calls betrothed love, or you could say spousal love even in his terminology. That what goes beyond attraction, there's goodness there, desire, I want that goodness, goodwill, I want to give myself to you into that goodness. Beyond friendship, beyond union is actually I want everything I am to be yours. The heights of love is a total gift of self. The greatest image we have of that is wedding vows. When it's not just the little day by day, the here and there love, which of course is important, but it's that in the vows, it's I am yours until death. I don't know what the future holds, but everything I am, I give to you as a total gift of self. And every human heart is captured by this, this gift that God gave us. And it doesn't stop with humans. The Lord placed this desire in our heart to give ourselves away completely. In the gospel today, the woman, the widow, who gives just a few cents, but it's all she had. Jesus must have looked at her and seen such joy, such delight in her in seeing, like, this one gets it. She doesn't give just bit by bit. she gives everything. And the Lord wants that for us. This is not an ideal John Paul II or Jesus came up with. This is something that is real. It's not a fake Disney wedding frou-frou thing. It's something that is true. It's something that we see, first of all, in Jesus Christ himself, the one who has given himself totally, completely, to the end, to each of us. And it demands a response which is possible. He invites us, asks us, and demands of us a response that is not just a little bit piece by piece like the Pharisees, but a response that is like the widow who gave all she had. And it is possible. It's a little daunting, though. If that's giving all you have, a total gift of self like that to the Lord in response, it's a lot. It costs us something. It costs us everything. There's a wonderful poet named Tagore. He had an incredible, just brief poem of a beggar. One day when he was begging outside, the King of Kings was passing by in a golden chariot, and the king stopped and smiled at the beggar. The beggar got all excited that this is my day, finally. And surprisingly, the king just stuck out his hand and asked him for something, the beggar. The beggar, confused, but also just, okay, rummaged in his sack of all his belongings right there and gave him just a grain of corn, something he had, one of the few items he had. The king went away. The beggar was left confused, like, shouldn't he be giving me something? The poem finishes, at night I found in my bag a grain of gold instead. And oh, how I wished I had given him everything. It costs us a lot to give the Lord everything. But he is never outdone in generosity. Our first reading, she gave the last flour and oil she had to care for the prophet Elijah, and she was taken care of. It costs us something, but the Lord always takes care of us when we give everything. If we are generous beyond reason and give everything to our Lord, he will take care of us. And just like the beggar, there's such a desire in our heart to give away everything. Oh, how I wish I had given all. We know we are made for this and we want it, but we're a little daunted. Take the step of faith. Give everything. And this is the last thing. This is not a vague pump up, give it all. We are called and we must give everything. And there's a specific place and a specific time we do this. Just like in wedding vows, there's a place and a time where you give the I'm yours. The rest of my life, there's no take backs. Everything is given after this point. It makes mistakes, of course. But after that, after vows, it's gone. My life is given. The place and time we give ourselves completely, a total gift of self to the Lord, is the Mass. Every Mass we come to can be, has to be, the time we give everything to him. Every Mass is when he gives himself completely and totally to us, and we have to respond in a like way. It has to be the time and a place each week where we say to the Lord, Lord, I give everything to you, my struggles, my joys. If there's something we notice I'm struggling to give to him, this is the place we lay down every week, week in, week out. Let this altar be the place where we come again, again, and again. Just give him everything. Because it's what our hearts long for and what his heart longs for.